So yesterday, during the U.S. Open tennis match, the chair umpire, Carlo Ramos, issued a code violation to tennis great Serena Williams for getting some sort of instructions from her coach. I guess he was gesturing with his hands, and there was an allegation that she was looking at them, and this was improper. When she protested, she said, "I don't chat to win. I'd rather lose. I'm just letting you know." She got a point deducted from her score, and then she smashed her racket, earning another point deduction, at which point she became enraged, and she confronted Ramos and called him a thief for stealing her point, and then he fined her one whole game for her outburst. Later, Serena addressed a press conference and called out gender discrimination, and here tonight to talk a little bit about how women are treated differently in the workplace, in the courthouse, and the tennis court is Andrea Kramer. She's a lawyer at the prestigious law firm of McDermott, Will & Emery, and she's the author of a great book called Breaking Through Bias, Communication Techniques for Women to Succeed at Work. Welcome to the show, Andrea. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Glad to be here, Karen.
Your book is fabulous. We had you on as a guest before. I read it cover to cover, and it's just an interesting study, and it's a sociological study on how women who do the same things as men get treated completely differently or are viewed differently for that very same conduct. Now, Andrea, when you watch this kind of scenario unfold with Serena Williams, did it parallel what you sort of learned in your studies on women in the workplace?
Well, it turns out that women are held to higher standards in the workplace than men, and because of the stereotypes and the biases that we have about the way women and men are supposed to behave, when a woman behaves out of stereotype, she tends to be punished more strenuously than a man would be for the same behavior. And so, unfortunately, watching the scenario with Serena unfold yesterday, it was painful, but unfortunately, it does happen on a daily basis in the workplace.
And, you know, your book talks a little bit, kind of paraphrasing this, that women are supposed to be soft, and they're supposed to be emotional, and they're supposed to be compassionate, although they get punished sort of for being that way because they're seen as being weaker. But when you have someone who's a strong woman, and not only is Serena a strong woman from a physical and emotional standpoint, she's just a force of nature. I mean, look at her. Strength is the word that comes to mind. Does she get treated differently because she's so strong, and that's sort of like an anti-woman trait?
It certainly will get the bells ringing in people who believe that women are supposed to be gentle and modest and unassuming. Obviously, as you've already pointed out, if you're competing for on the tennis court, or you're competing for workplace opportunities, if you're too kind and sweet and nice, you get punished because then nobody pays any attention to you and you're not viewed as competent. But if you are too assertive and claim your space and defend yourself, then you are punished more rigorously. Thinking about Elizabeth Warren in the Senate comes to mind, or the women in the Supreme Court who get talked over all the time when the men talk over each other and don't, you know, they don't even think about it, but God forbid one of the women says something when a guy's speaking.
You know, it's interesting. I was in court a couple of weeks ago, and I was having an argument in front of the judge, and it was a heated argument, and we were both the lawyers, myself, and it was a male counterpart, who we were arguing, you know, strenuously. We were, and we went back to the bench, and actually back to the table, and he leaned to me and said something like, you know, you didn't have to be rude. And I looked at him, and I thought to myself, you can call me aggressive, you can call me mouthy, you can call me a lot of those persuasive, but rude. I did nothing that he did that he didn't do.
Exactly. He's allowed to do it, but you're not.
But
that's the problem.
And that was supposed to be, I suppose, the ultimate put down, that I am a woman who was so audacious that I spoke my mind, I was persuasive, I won,
mm-hmm.
and I was rude. And I was
rude. Of course, you were rude.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the other thing that I think is interesting is, and I'm sure someone's going to do a some sort of segment on it, but I remember like the John McEnroe. Didn't he like always get ticked off? And wasn't that his like trademark? He had this anger problem, and everyone thought it was kind of funny and kind of cute. And I think there was even a commercial that was made that kind of made fun of that. I forgot what.
Absolutely.
And so we have Serena doing this. And Ben, do you have a little clip from that? Let's see if we can hear it for people that didn't see it 100
sure.
times here on CNN or something.
I don't cheat. I didn't get coaching. How can you say that? Cheated in my life. I have a daughter and I stand what's right for her, and I've never cheated. And you owe me an apology. You
So now, let me ask you this. And again, part of your book, you talk about how women dress and how that is something you have to be careful of because you don't want to be too sexy. You don't want to be too masculine. And women kind of get it both ways here. The other aspect of the story, do you remember she wore this black cat suit to the French Open? That was, what, about 2 or 3 weeks ago?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It was form-fitting, completely like Lycra form-fitting, covering all of her arms, covering all of her legs, showing absolutely no skin. And they told her not to wear it again. She was banned from wearing it. And then there was another player, I don't know how to say her name, Elise Cornet. She actually, mm-hmm. she had her shirt on and apparently was backwards, so she whipped the shirt around, took it off, and put it back on the court, and they fined her for that. They gave her a penalty for that, whereas there's other players that literally take off their shirt like 3 or 4 times during the match or regularly take it off after the match on the court. So again, what are we seeing here with this view of what she looks like?
Well, I'd like to respond to that by just mentioning one thing about the tape that you just did first, which is that if there's no way that a man of Serena's stature, importance to the sport, and the economic engine that she is to tennis, would have received a third code violation, which resulted in her having the game taken away from her in the finals of an important tournament. And so one of the issues is that the penalty was so severe that I think that's part of what's got everybody flabbergasted. But going to the cat suit French Open situation, it turns out that after her daughter was born, she's had blood clots and has had medical problems.
Right.
And this form-fitting, feet to wrist thing is something that benefits her from a health standpoint, and that was not addressed. But let's look at that for the woman who took her shirt off at the U.S. Open and turned her shirt around. The men can sit without shirts all the time, and they do. And I think the U.S. Open did give her a penalty, but then they've taken it away. And so they've kind of backed off on it. So one of the things that we need to think about here is in the workplace, if you go to court in flats, some juror might say, oh, well, there's something wrong with Karen Conti. She doesn't dress right, or she should be wearing a skirt. And so there's a lot of policing of you know, whether you're a woman lawyer or you're a woman doctor, you know, what are you wearing? Unfortunately, women get held to a higher standard, and the expectations of what they're supposed to do is different than what a man would.
You know, it's interesting. This was about a year ago. I was sitting in a crowded courthouse courtroom at the Daly Center, and there was a woman at the bench, and she's arguing, and she was overweight, and her clothes didn't fit her very well, but whatever, she was making her argument, and mm-hmm. I turn, and I see these two men, and they're just talking about her and what she looked like, and neither of them was the physical fitness king of the world. And I thought to myself,
no paragon of beauty for them, huh?
But it's really true. I mean, and I just saw that boy, doesn't matter what she was saying, it doesn't matter that she was very good at what she was doing and she had the right side of the argument. It was pretty clear that she was kind of commanding the courtroom, but because she didn't look the way that they thought she should look, they felt just completely free to talk about it, you know, so that everyone else could hear it. And I just
right.
thought to myself, you know, there's just a no win here. And
that's clearly true. In today's gender biased workplaces, whether it's the tennis court she was at work, you know, whether it's the tennis court or in the courtroom or in a factory, the problem is that women are scrutinized for their clothes. They are shamed for their bodies. Somehow, it's more appropriate to have a little skirt on than it is to have a bodysuit on.
Well, right. Think about all the cute little short skirts that these beautiful, beautiful athletes wear, and you know their underwear is showing. I mean, that's the whole purpose of it. They have the little under thing. And how could Serena's bodysuit be somehow more revealing? It covered every single part of her body, and yet she was being shamed for it. And could it be because she's a woman, or is it because she's African American, or does she just not fit the type of woman that people think a woman should look like? She should look softer, she should look thinner, she should look more feminine.
Absolutely.
Or whatever.
All of the above.
Yeah. All right. So just in the few minutes that we have left, you know, we just griped about this, but let's
do something positive.
Let's do something positive. If you could, I know the book is just a really, really, really fine book, and it really does give you some ideas about how to handle this, breaking through bias communication techniques for women to succeed at work. Give us, Andrea, just some bullet points on some of the things that women should do to be treated fairly at the workplace.
Okay. The first thing is that women face what we call the Goldilocks dilemma, which is that if she's too kind and nice and sweet, she's likable, but she's not viewed as competent. But if she's too aggressive, assertive, you do this, you do that, and we're going to meet at 5 o'clock to talk about it, everybody's hair catches fire. So to be just right in a gender-biased workplace, women have to be more attuned to the fact that they're not going to get a fair shake. Now, I'm not saying that that's fair, but that's the reality. And so going into the workplace with your eyes open to the stereotypes and the biases is going to allow her to make conscious decisions about how she wants to be perceived. And the reason that's important is then you wouldn't have a situation like Serena was faced with, where she got punished beyond what she would have expected. No warning, no nothing. Just, you know, penalty game. And so what a woman can do is she should be, when she can tell that the other person is not paying attention to her, is not listening to her, she can try to rephrase it so that the other person is listening. And so we really have three different techniques, three different
Andrea, Andrea, I'm going to have to cut you off like a man.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
But I want thank you. That was that little bit of that tidbit there was very, very valuable. I want to thank you for coming on. I'm sorry we're in a rush to get to that all important news. Andrea Kramer, lawyer and the author of Breaking Through Bias: Communication Techniques for Women to Succeed at Work. Thank you so much for joining us.
And thank you, Karen.
All right,
bye now.
Take care.
Bye.